go. I turned it on. Okay. I spoke with Father yesterday. Hold on one second. Father yesterday, he and Jesus send their love to you, and I give you my peace. We say happy birthday to Light, Star, and Brilliance today, and they asked if they could be excused because their families are throwing them parties. I spoke with Father, and he said this: my very dear team, now is the time for all of you to be on your guard. Once again, I will tell you that there are many changes coming within this year. It is important that you continue to meditate daily. Be aware of your surroundings and understand our enemy Satan and his forces. Some of you have been personally visited by him. His efforts will increase. His task is to create doubt in all of you. Do not listen to him. You have shared in too many experiences to second-guess yourselves now. The time of this earth is fleeting. Many concentrate on saving it instead of saving themselves. Your task in the future will be to teach them the importance of faith in me and my sons and coming home. Jesus set up one specific route. You will teach that in tandem with the apostles. The world will seek you out and lean on you during times of hardship. And yes, all of you will be strong enough to bear it. I chose all of you because I knew before time began that you could handle this for me. I know I have no doubts. It may seem as if joy has left your lives and you are stuck in the mundane. I now give all of you joy. Know how much I love all of you and am proud, very proud of how all of you stand and fight for me and support this task with my son. His announcement will happen in a short period of time, but many things must change and happen before that time. I give you this mundane time to get your personal lives in order. I give you time to spend with your loved ones and to help teach and train you for the future. Please stop thinking that you are wasting your time. You are not. You are all still learning. Again, I would encourage all of you to spend time with the archangels and your own teams. You must all be, as the saying is spoken, good to go. I know in my heart that you will be. Most of you are already anxious for this task to start, Most of you are already anxious for this task to start, so it can be completed and you can come home. Everything in time, my dear ones. Now receive from my hand a blessing of strength, courage, more joy, and peace. I love all of you very much. Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah.
Father prefaced at the beginning of this that we need to be on our guard. I had an interview yesterday with a company, and I gave my team standing orders that anytime I go someplace, they're supposed to bind and sweep. Amanda is supposed to ground the entire facility and everybody in it. She's also supposed to set the energy in the room I interview with my own energy. And even as I walked towards the building, I could feel that something wasn't right and things were off. Well, I foolishly didn't take the time to actually clairvoyantly scope everything out on my own. It was probably the worst interview I ever experienced in my life. It was more like a Spanish Inquisition than it was an interview, and it was very uncomfortable. And at the end of the thing, I was actually angry and aggravated as I left, and that's when I realized that there was a ton of demons still in the facility. I turned to Stotherian and I said, I thought I gave you a standing order. And he sheepishly looked at me and said, your father asked us to stand down because he said you become too complacent. I couldn't argue with that. I couldn't argue with it. I can't express enough to all of you to not just give a standing order and then assume it's handled. We need to now be on guard, and we need to be aware of everything that's around us, to not second guess that if something doesn't feel right, then it's not. And then you and I personally have to step in and take care of it. So I didn't pog the whole place until after I drove out of the parking lot because I was frustrated and angry, and that's when I saw everything that was there that was influencing these people. It was the weirdest interview I ever had. And even when I reported back to my headhunter, I said to her, I don't even know how to put it in words for you. I said, it didn't feel right. Everything was queered. These people don't have any idea what they're really looking for. They seem like they want the world, but they don't want to pay for it. And I said, I'm not interested in this position, so I won't waste your time. Anyway, I need you all to continue to vet your team. Blazar and Quasar recently had to destroy and change team members on their team. Do not just take everyone for face value. I would ask you to continue to rotate your angels into the lead position to get to know them. If there's one that you favor more than the other one, you can keep them in that spot. It is your decision who you want to make as your lead, okay? Just because they were assigned you in a certain manner doesn't mean that that angel will stay in that lead position. For me, I'm very comfortable with Stotharian. He's been with me for about 7 years. But if you want to change yours around and put in whomever you would like to be your lead, I give you that permission to do that. Does anybody have any questions at this point? Okay. I sent out an Excel spreadsheet titled Spiritual Teams Responsibilities. Does everybody understand what I drafted out, what the difference is between your healing master and your healing angel? Just wanted to go over that a little bit. Your healing angel is going to work in tandem with your healing master and your psychic service. When you're getting a healing done personally, you can ask your healing angel to step into your space, and they can work in tandem with your team to help you get stronger. They can help you facilitate any illness that you're feeling or push it off. And then, as I wrote out, if there's someone in your circle that you think could use a healing angel, then you ask this person or this angel to send someone to help them. I don't want to make it so complicated that everybody's trying to figure out who they're supposed to be talking to at any time. You can always just talk to your lead angel and say, blah, 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 can you please take care of this for me? And then if you're on the ball team, then you need to ask them, was my order carried out? How did it go? Do we need to do something more? Okay. They're also going to go into that person's space and see things. You and I should have them report back to us so that we do the best we can for somebody. We are not here to save the world, but we are here to help them find their way home. And sometimes a physical ailment will hold somebody back in their faith. We are not here to remove that thorn, per se, from their side. But if Father allows us to alleviate some of their pain, wonderful. Fantastic. Does anybody have any questions about your spiritual team's responsibilities?
I don't have a question per se, but I wanted to kind of share. My healing angel, I cannot believe that for so long she never did anything, and I didn't get it, and I just thought, well, whatever. And then one night before I was going to sleep, when I was asking her to heal something on me and it just wasn't happening, I realized that she wasn't right. And then I went back in my memory and realized that she never moved from where she was. I never saw her do anything. And then I felt silly because she was like that the whole entire time. And then, of course, I think Trisus, you sent back and said, you know, it's not silly. We're learning and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's just, we have to go with our gut. And I think sometimes we just, I don't know, I guess I can't say we. I can only say me. I see it, and I think, oh, it's fine. If there's any inclination, chances are it's not fine.
Okay. Nucleos, Atmos, and Quasar had an experience in the Kalamazoo area, so I'll ask Nucleos to go first, and then Atmos, and then Quasar. So the floor is yours, Nucleos.
All right. So this past Sunday, I guess I'll start off by saying normally, like on the way to church, I'll send my lead out with a team of angels to do a bind and sweep. And for whatever reason, I didn't do that this past Sunday. I don't know why still to this day. But when I got there and started praying before the service, I looked out over the grounds and saw that there was no form of protection over the property whatsoever. And normally, like I know for sure that Atmos has sent out a standing order to have the perimeter surrounded at all times to just keep anything out. And for whatever reason, that protection was gone. So I looked out again and saw a portal out just outside the parking lot. So, I mean, obviously feeling uneasy, I went to look at the portal, and I looked down into it, and it looked like a gateway straight to hell. So I looked up, I said, "Father, what do I do?" And he didn't say anything. A rope just came straight down over the middle of it. So I took that as a sign to go in and find out whatever I have to do in there. So I jumped down, and I just get overwhelmed with demons. I'm fighting them off the best I can, realize that it was too much. So I climbed back out, put a pog net over the top of it, and cut the rope, and asked Father what to do from there. And he made it clear that he wanted me to get rid of it. So I picked it up and threw it and pogged it and asked him to take care of it from there.
Okay. Then he reached out to Atmos, myself, and Quasar. So, Atmos, if you want to take over.
Yeah, when I got the email and read it, needless to say, I was a little shaken. I wasn't sure what was going on. And the first thought, not my gut feeling, but my first thought was somebody had brought something in with them. Somebody in the congregation had allowed something to come in. And I was in Schaumburg that weekend, so I was standing right next to Triland when I read the email. So, you know, I asked him what he thought it was, and he said he believed it to be a training exercise for Nucleos. As soon as he said that, relief kind of came over to me, and that's when I knew that that's exactly what it was. And that's it.
Okay. Q. Quasar.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard you say something, but I didn't catch what it was. So, okay, here. So now, with all of that, I got the feeling right away when I got the email that this was a training exercise as well for Nucleos, because this was the first time that he was going to be in the congregation without, you know, on his own as a healer. And, you know, I thought that was cool. And then when he kind of explained what happened, I thought, yeah, okay. And he can handle it, and he did. And it was nice. And then a few days later, I was in conversation with different people, and I just kept getting the feeling that people's egos seem to really be getting in the way of Father's work, especially in the Kalamazoo congregation and with all of the things that are happening with the merging of the congregations and all. And people would be talking to me about other people's egos, and I would be realizing that their ego was also involved, and I was trying to figure out a way to tell them that they have the same issue. And it was frustrating, confusing, and it's like, how do we help someone to just wake up and see themselves? Because I think that in general, as human beings, we are not self-aware. But as healers and the future bride of Christ, we have to be self-aware. We have to be able to see ourselves for how we are and what we're doing. And so it kind of bothered me that I just couldn't just say, your ego is in the way too. Stop it. And I couldn't. So then another situation happened where we were in someone within our congregation, and they're involved in the Kalamazoo congregation. And the way that I see, I don't see unless I think about it. So unless I go into the center of my mind and then I go clairvoyantly and I specifically go somewhere to see something, then I see. And the service was about ready to begin, and this individual and his family were in the congregation. And I'd rather not speak names. I mean, those who are involved know who I'm talking about. But I guess I want to keep it general because as healers in our congregations, it behooves us to make sure that we do our part in helping and protecting and looking at situations. So this individual and his family was in our congregation, and just before the service started, I went clairvoyantly, and I just looked over to the left, and I saw that a cord was attached to this individual. And then I immediately followed it, and because there was a bind and sweep in our congregation, it was actually an entity. I think I told you, Triland, it was a demon. It was an entity, okay? And it was out in the field because it couldn't get in, but it was still connected by the cord. And so then I thought, well, should I? And I thought, don't ask the question. Just go do it. And so I went and I cut the cord. And as soon as I cut the cord, I thought, oh, crap, I got to go get him. And so because I wanted to go so that he wouldn't take off. So I cut the cord, and immediately I was in front of him and I cut his head off. And so then I prayed for that individual and for everyone involved. I also noticed that no one in his family had anything attached to them. And I just had this just overwhelming feeling that it's ego. It's man's will getting in the way, and it seems to be getting stronger. And that's all that I have.
Okay. So I need everyone again to look at your congregations. Make sure there's nothing attaching itself to the altar where the brothers are standing, and police your congregation every time you're there. We're not going to just let the bind and sweep order stand on its own anymore. We need to hold our angels accountable, make sure that they're doing it. I know for mine, every week, Stotharian, before the service starts, he says to me, we will start the bind and sweep of the trifold in the Father, and then about 20 minutes later, he'll tap me on the shoulder and go, it's complete, sir. I've asked him to let me know that. You can do the same thing with your leads as well. That's all I had on that subject. Trisus got a healing from Atmos. I've asked Trisus and Atmos to share that information with you too, and Atmos took it upon himself to go a step further, and I would like him to share that when he spent time with an archangel, which is very interesting. So, Trisus, if you'd please go first.
Okay. The last meeting we went over where I had a healing in September from our former teammates, and at that point we knew, and I know for 100%, that the disease was actually killed. The disease itself is multifaceted, where there's the inflammation and the destruction of the cells, and then what's left is nothing. It's baffling the scientists because they don't know, even if they could cure the disease or stop the infection and stop the inflammation, how to make a dead cell, basically
regenerate,
become alive again. Atmos did a healing. Part of the problem over my years with just my body in general is that my left side of my body has always been weak. My left leg's a little shorter. I pulled my back about 32 years ago. Left side, the left shoulder, left part of my back, everything. Even the chiropractors tried working on me and my hand. There's really nothing here. What's interesting is the morning of the healing, that week prior, I was in agony. I could barely move. I had been working some overtime. This is our busy time for my group. And just literally dragging. Even Trylan asked me, "Are you going to make it?" I'm like, I'm going to try. I really don't have an opportunity to not work, like all of us. But that week was particularly troublesome. We had changed when Atmos was going to do the healing. Originally, it was going to be Saturday, and then Trylan and he discussed and said, let's just do it when they get here. Danielle was with Atmos on that Friday. That morning I woke up and there was a knot just under the left shoulder blade in my back, and it's always been there. I'd had Trilin over the years, even, you know, pull on my shoulder, and, you know, how Mel Gibson always rammed his shoulder into the wall, it, you know, like where he dislocated his shoulder. I mean, it would feel that bad sometimes. And Trilin ran some energy through me, and it helped a little bit, but there's always been a problem with the left side of my body, and particularly the upper part of my back there. When I almost got here, we chitty-chatted a little bit, and then he proceeded to do the healing. And what's interesting is that he, and he'll go over what he did, but he had been discussing how he had a new energy and how this new energy would help in the healing process. What he has left for me to use is my aura. And he'll go over the details on how he got the energy, but my aura is full of this silver-blue energy for me to draw on. So if I concentrate, I can actually take a deep breath and draw in this energy from my aura into my space, into my body, and it is actually getting into the... Danny, maybe you can help me. The mitochondrial part of the cells, or the whatever the powerhouse is of the cell.
Yeah, that's exactly what they are. Yes.
Is that what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
To jumpstart the cells. The disease itself has left the body as ashes. There's no muscles. It's not just I put on weight and lost and atrophied. There's no muscle left. So that is what this healing was designed to do. Prior to the meeting, one of you had asked how I'm doing. I'm struggling. It's. I thought, and I had asked Atmos for a deep knee bend, running up and down the stairs type of healing right afterwards. But that didn't happen. But, you know, I can feel different. And just like Susan, I'm sure, with Tom, you know, there's some good days and there's some bad days. So I'm happy. I know there's some difference. I'll let Atmos share what he found, and then I'll share afterwards, if you don't mind, what's happening with my body, because it's astounding. God works in mysterious ways. We know this, but you hear my part, and Trilin, if Atmos could share what he has, then I'll share the follow up.
Okay. With this healing, when I was first asked about it, I knew I had to step up my game being a rookie, and felt like I didn't know enough to go into this healing where I was at when I was asked to do it. So I had about a month to prepare for it. The first thing that came to mind was to just go to the list of archangels, go down the list and figure out which one had the skill set that could help me. So as I went down the list, I looked at number five on the list is Raphael, Angel of Healing and the Manager of Truth. So I asked Father if he could send Raphael to be with me and to teach me, to help hone my skills, and that's exactly what Father did. When I went into the center of my mind after asking that, there was a specific area that Raphael is always at in the center of my mind, and that will never change. I've also asked Uriel as well. He is in another spot in the center of my mind, and they have both told me that now that I have asked them to come and help me, they will be there for me in the exact same spot whenever I need them. So I went to Raphael, and I was anxious about the healing too. So going to Uriel first, he would almost what I call a peace pog. I mean, he would just shower me with peace, and that would allow me to concentrate on what I needed to do instead of being anxious about it. So then I went to Raphael, and he said, the first thing he said was, sit down in the chair, and your team is going to give you a healing, and I'm going to show you what you're seeing and why. So that really helped out a lot, because I learned how easily a healing should flow and how it should feel. when you're going through it. They're all going to be different, but there still should be a general flow about the energy, and you should, the feelings should just always be fairly similar, although the healing themselves are different. So we went through that, and it went well. And then about a week and a half, I think 2 weeks, somewhere in there, before I went to Schaumburg, I went back to Raphael because he told me that there would be two training sessions. So the second one was the one that, this is when it got really interesting. He said, what we're going to do is you're going to give me a healing, but not as Raphael. He said, I will simulate Trisus. And so Raphael sat down in the chair, and literally, I see John sitting in the chair. And so as I'm going through the healing and doing it, Raphael is showing me the spiritual attributes when I need to see the spiritual attributes of Trisus, and the physical attributes of Trisus when I need to see them. So I started the healing. I noticed that his aura had looked like somebody had taken an eraser to it, and it was thin in spots, and there were holes in it where it had been rubbed thin. So we, first of all, we fixed that, grounded all his chakras, all that good stuff. And I went into the first chakra, and I noticed this black seaweed. I see the chakra as a big sphere, and I'm inside the sphere, and I can see the energy coming down through it. So the energy is flowing through it, but this black seaweed is like leaching out into it and absorbing the energy as it's going through. So my team and I are in there with, was it sickles or scythes? And we're trying to clear the seaweed out, and nothing's happening. And Raphael said, Atmos, step back and take a look. And so I stepped back and I looked, and I could see on his physical body that his left shoulder, about the middle of his shoulder, on his back, was attached to a tendril, a black tendril. And he said, we need to take care of this before we can even start healing. So my team and I told him, I said, let's suit up, let's get ready, let's do this. And we went straight down that tendril to whatever was down there. We went into this room with a lot of little demons running around. And this was interesting, too. The little demons, we pogged, and they disappeared immediately. There was a big demon, the main demon, was in the center of the room, but he was bound. He couldn't do anything, he couldn't move. We didn't hesitate, ran up, chopped his head off, came back out, didn't even think about it. It was done, removed the tendril. Then physically pogged that area of the physical body to heal it. Then we went back into the chakra, pogged the chakra, the first chakra, and the seaweed disappeared. And it lightened right up, and all of a sudden the energy was flowing 10 times better than it had been before. And then we started going through each chakra and just cleaning them up. You know, Trisus, obviously, he's doing his daily, so things are clean. That first chakra, though, had been manipulated by that demon and by that tendril and his little minion demons that were down there. So that allowed us to get all the way through all the chakras really well. And then we got to the physical aspect of it. And Raphael showed me, previous to this healing, the energy, which was silver with almost, I want to call it like a blue electric plasma. If you've ever seen thunder or lightning, I guess, or when you go to plug something in, you see that blue arc. It was, that's what that looks like, wrapped around this silver energy. And he said, what we're going to do is we're going to use this energy to almost as a defibrillator, or like we're kick-starting a motorcycle. And what we're going to do is when you put your hands on his forehead and on the back of his neck and say, in the name of God, I heal you. He said, what this energy is going to do is it's going to pulse through his body, almost like electricity. And it's going to wake these cells up. And Raphael actually showed me how the energy would blast through the muscle tissue around each individual cell and what it would do to it. It was almost like it was starting to contract each cell, trying to wake it up. So we went through all that and got finished with that, and that was just a practice. And I was blown away. I was completely amazed, and I felt such peace and relief knowing that Raphael had helped me this way, because I knew this was what I was going to experience when I got to Schaumburg. And when I got to Schaumburg and started giving Tristis his healing, it was verbatim. Everything I just told you is exactly what Tristis and I experienced in his healing. When I touched him, I told him, I said, you know, Raphael showed me that, you know, there's a tendril attached to your shoulder. And I touched him on the shoulder physically where the tendril was attached. And he's like, holy crap. You know, I've been experiencing pain in that pretty much all my life. So we removed that and healed it and ran a ton of energy through him. And like I said, verbatim, it was almost exactly how it was with Raphael. Obviously, there was a little bit of joking and hemming and hawing here and there, but that was to be expected. Raphael's was a little bit more serious than I think Tristis tends to be, but that's just whatever. But we enjoyed the healing, and I was just absolutely blown away by how things went. So I think that's pretty much it. Tristis, unless I missed something.
Yeah, well, that spot that he touched me, I've been in so much pain for so many years that I wake up, I mean, and, you know, you can sleep weird on you, and you wake up and you have a little ache or a pain. I got to tell you, there's not been any pain at all. I mean, I wake up every morning kind of testing like, and there's nothing. I mean, the upper part of my back and my shoulder are completely healed, which is, you know, an astounding, you know, thumbs up as a you know, us humans, we need proof, right? Even after everything we've seen, you know, and even sitting here now, I mean, there's no pain. To me, you know, the biggest part of this disease that was ravaging me was the burning sensation and the magnificent amount of pain. I'll take no pain. If that's the first step of healing, I'll take that. And that's how I know everything's going to be okay. It's fantastic. It's just so weird that Tryon had touched the exact same spot 2 hours before to run energy, and that's the exact spot that Atmos touched and said, that's where the tendril is. You know, and there was no discussion before, like, oh, it's right here, you know. So even if there's naysayers, you know, it's just amazing. I mean, we sit here in awe, and I don't know, why do we act surprised?
Yeah.
Why do we act surprised? But, you know, I had no idea, and honestly, I'm grateful that he did this. I mean, every day I wake up and I go, okay, it's a new day. You know, no pain is good.
Thank you. Tranquility, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you have any information about Tom's phone call with the Apostle Orlovsky? If you want to just give us a brief synopsis or just, you know, make something up, I don't care.
Yeah, I'll try to make a little bit up, as much
cool.
as I know.
All right. Well,
just to fill you all in, yes, there was definitely a miracle that happened when we first spoke to Apostle Orlovsky, and there was no denying that. But Tom still felt that there was something that wasn't quite right. He felt that there was still something holding him back or hindering him, just that he wasn't making the progress that he felt that he should. And so Tom sent an email to the Apostle Orlovsky. He did not blind copy me on it. It was just between him and the Apostle. And then I mentioned to Triland. I had been asking periodically to Tom. I had been asking him, did you hear from Apostle Orlovsky? And Tom said no. And so I spoke to Triland, and Triland was kind enough to send an email to the Apostle, not saying that, you know, have you responded to Tom's email or anything, just a general email saying, you know, my friend Tom is still not feeling quite up to snuff, and I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind to contact him. And then still we hadn't heard for a long time, but I just got the impression that it wasn't time for me to contact him. So I waited until, I guess, the beginning of, well, it'd be a week ago, 2 weeks ago. I sent the apostle an email and thanked him again for all that he had done. And I said, you know, Tom just isn't feeling quite right, and I'm wondering if you wouldn't mind to contact him. And he replied to me within a day and said, I'm traveling, but what about Friday? And so right away I said, sure, Friday would be great. And it was interesting because that Friday I actually ended up being at home with a migraine. And Tom came to me. They had arranged that they would contact each other by phone. Tom would call at 11 o'clock. And so Tom came to me and said, would you mind to, you know, to talk to the apostle, what happened like the first time where Tom would speak to me and then I would speak to the apostle. But again, I got this impression that no, I should not be a part of this. And I just said to Tom, really, I'm at home with a migraine. I just can't. I said, if the apostle can't hear you, then for sure I'll come. But I think it's better that you start. And he was a little bit agitated by that, but he, you know, he did end up making the call. Well, the good thing was that they ended up speaking for an hour. And when you think that's an awful long time, considering that I wasn't like the mediator like I was the last time, and I was, I didn't hear what they said, but I know that afterwards Tom said to me that he was feeling much better. He felt that there was some sort of curse that was attached to him, and it went back to when he used to travel to Africa. He was like an auditor for NAC Canada. At the time, Canada was looking after a lot of the parts of Africa, and he found some corruption that was going on. The funds weren't used properly, or they said that churches were built, but they would take duplicate pictures of the same church but a different angle. And so Tom just felt that someone was so irate with him that they had put a curse on him. And Apostle Orlovsky was actually quite open to this, and he did not seem surprised at all. And so after the phone call, Tom said, yes, he did feel much better. The interesting thing is when I went just to check in on him while they were speaking, and his whole physique looked different. His face looked different. It's hard to describe, but it was different, and I knew it was different in a good way, so then I just went back out. But what I did do was I asked Tom if he wouldn't mind to write a summary for us that we could benefit from what the apostle had told Tom, because right now he's our biggest advocate, and our as in the team, like he's our biggest advocate. He's the one apostle who has no doubt about demons existing. He has no doubt about curses. He's very open, and he has helped us, Tom and I, but also the team, I think, to grow and mature. So Tom said, yes, no doubt, he would write a summary. Well, so far the summary is 3 pages long. So when I get it, I will forward it on to all of you so that we can all benefit and see what the apostle had told him. The other interesting thing is I do know that Tom has many gifts. And I heard him say over the phone, Apostle Orlovsky, I haven't been able to get your son out of my mind. I'm just wondering how your son is. And he said, I hope you don't mind me asking or thinking that I'm prying. Well, as it turns out, Apostle Orlovsky's son was or is having some issues. And I thought, how wonderful is that, that in that way, sorry, I'm getting a little emotional. It helped Tom to see that he too has gifts, which he's almost too humble to admit that he's got. And also for the apostle to see that, you know, Tom is legitimate and that he is also a very caring soul. So it was a good experience all around. I knew that it was a success because all hell broke loose the next day for me. My son, Matthew, who is in Cambridge, which is close to Kitchener, called and said, Mom, John, my grandson, won't stop crying. He's very unsettled. Jan, my daughter-in-law, she's feeling not very well. We feel that there's something. Would you please ground us and check our spaces? Which I did. And then Saturday night, I was waking up every 20 minutes, and I don't have the gift of sight like many of you do, but I do get this feeling. It sounds crazy, but I get a feeling from the waist down to my toes, and it's the sensation. And then I know that there is evil. I almost initially get a feeling of dread, and this was the first time that I had that feeling in our house in a very, very long time. So I knew that, you know, we were battling, and the interesting thing is that I was awake most of the night, but when I woke up on Sunday morning, I didn't feel tired, which that was the first time that's ever happened to me where I've gone without sleep and have been re-energized. So I knew, okay, you know, Satan is now retaliating, and he's come, and he's challenging me a little bit, and he's definitely upset with me, probably because I also wouldn't be Tom's mouthpiece on Friday, and Tom was being a living testimony of who Tom is. So, and this week at work has been kind of crazy too. So I know that this is why. I mean, if it wasn't a success, Satan wouldn't have, you know, been upset with me and my family. So I am asking for your prayers. But that's an update. So I don't really know what the content of the conversation was or what Apostle Orlovsky did. I think he may have even asked Tom to pray. And I think the Apostle prayed and possibly Tom did too. But like I said, I gave him his privacy. But I will definitely send out the email once I get it, and I'll share it all with you. So that's a summary of what's going on in the Horn household.
Wonderful. Thank you. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to add? Any comments?
I would just like to add the point that I think, I don't know how many on the team have had the opportunity to join with the Archangels, to work with them, to have them come and be with them in the center of their mind, but man, are they are a big help. They're a huge asset to us. With the pride and ego thing that's still going on, I spoke to Tryland earlier. The next angel to ask is Japhiel. He's the archangel of light and wisdom. And I would hope that he can help us, at least me, work through some of these pride and ego issues and maybe help guide me a little bit as to how to approach them.
That's a wonderful idea.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
I do have one comment. It's kind of like a humorous thing. I'm sitting closer to the end of the pew now in Willowdale, our congregation, and a lot of the older seniors, especially the black seniors, now when they come back from Holy Communion, they all stop to shake my hand at the end of the pew. And so, and so one of the sisters said to me, yeah, what's going on? Why are they doing that? And I had to kind of chuckle to myself because it's quite obvious. They make no bones about it. They stick their hand right out and shake my hand. And one of the sisters was the one who fell down the stairs and hurt her shoulder. And I ran right away. This was when I was just like a real newbie and just closed my eyes and put my hands on her shoulder. And I knew that we were given the power to heal. And so I just think it's kind of neat that I don't know. I just love it when others can see it without actually seeing it. They just know that there's something there, and I don't know. It's just kind of nice. I like it.
Yep, I agree. Okay.
What was that?
We all agree.
Oh, yeah. So neat.
And we enjoy laughing and humor. So So that's more than welcome at every meeting.
Yes.
Thank you. On a personal note, I have a second interview with a company I interviewed with 2 weeks ago on Monday at 3 o'clock. If you please remember me, I appreciate it.
Oh, for sure. 3 o'clock your time?
3 o'clock my time, yeah, Monday.
Okay, for sure. Yeah,
email,
I have a good feeling about that.
Me too. And then their email to me, the director of HR said, we would like you to come in. And in parentheses, she went sooner than later, and she gave me 3 dates, and I picked Monday, which is the soonest. So I got a good feeling. This is a good company. I've researched them a little bit. I have a good feeling about them. They have the same kind of humor and weirdness that I carry, so I think we'll get along just fine if Father decides this is the one. We'll see how it goes. But I appreciate everybody calling in and making the effort. Our next meeting will be on Sunday, June 14th at 5 p.m. Central Time. So that you boys in, you know, the Michigan area understand. Does anybody have anything else they'd like to say or comment on? If not, then we'll just pray together as a team.
I just want to make a comment with what Tranquility just shared. And I know I sent you that email about this, that particular thing. It just, and it seems as though in our congregation, amazed at the fellowship time when people gravitate to me. And I know why they're doing it, because they feel Father and they feel Quasar, who is there. And it's nothing about me, but it's so awesome that they see something. And I can't wait until Triland is announced, and then they go, oh, that's why.
Amen.
And I just can't wait, because I just get that feeling, and it's so awesome. I mean, I just sit there, and it's hard for me not to smile while they're just kind of surrounding me and asking things, and it's just the coolest thing. And I hope that it just starts happening more and more with all of us, so that when Triland is announced, then they just look at us and say, I love them. I know that they're, I understand it now. Okay, I get it. And I just think that I had to share that. It was nice.
That's wonderful. I agree. It'll be nice when we can walk in the light in front of everybody. We have nothing to hide anyway. But recently I had a conversation with Father where he said, you are ready. He said, but the world is not. And there's some things I need to change and put into place before I can announce you. And he's also referring to the church as well. It is not an easy thing for me to swallow when he said that half the church is going to leave. Please don't think that I take that lightly and that I have that's no big deal to me. These are our brothers and sisters. What was encouraging is he said that 3 times the number that leaves will walk through the doors. Now, I'm hoping that some that leave will actually be numbered amongst those who walk in and come back. So we need to pray for that as well. We need to pray that their hearts are open, not just our church, but the world, because like I've warned you, you'll be persecuted because of me. I'll be persecuted because of Father and Jesus. It kind of goes round and round, but Jesus said, blessed is he who is persecuted in my name. So we all will be strong enough, as Father again iterated tonight in his message to us. He has no doubts, and we shouldn't either, because if the creator of everything, our Father, handpicked you and I before he even said, let there be, then why should you and I doubt ever? And I mean that. And I'm listening to what I'm saying as well, because I have struggled and wrestled with this for many years, and there are times where Satan comes and he whispers, and I'm caught off guard a little bit, and I actually, for a split second, entertain that idea. We can't anymore. You've witnessed too many things, as Father said. So have I. We've seen so many lives that have changed for the better. And even some naysayers were talking to me the other day. One of my friends was being a devil's advocate. And I looked at him and I said, then please contact all the people that my team's lives have touched and tell them that we're full of crap. Okay? There you go. I said, and not one dime have we ever charged anybody to remove a demon or help their lives. I said, yes, if we're teaching them meditation, if we're doing a healing, that's different. But if they're being tormented by Satan, we are more than happy to step in and smack the crap out of him. So we need to be confident in who we are. Father gave you your names. I would encourage you to read over the list of what I sent you that Father said you are. and why he picked you and gave you those names. Before time began, he picked all of that for us. That should overwhelm us, that he put that much work into you and I out of the billions of souls that have been on this planet. He handpicked you, and he said, this is what I need you to do for me. Who else do you know outside of the Bible that he's picked to do these things? I have no idea. No one else has come across my path. There's people who think they're really important. It doesn't mean they are. We think we are small, and Father can bless us when we do that. Okay? Thank you for calling in today. I appreciate everybody's input. And I'll pray.
My line just went dead. I had to reconnect. After you asked for prayers, the line went dead. I got a dial tone. And then when I tried to call back twice, it said that I can't call from my line.
Really?
So that already shows you that Satan's not happy.
Did you plug your line?
I'm supposed to hear.
Yeah, this is the third time now that I'm trying to call in. So I don't know what you just said, but I agree with you.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate that, and I would encourage you to listen to the recording so you know what you're agreeing with. But apparently Satan doesn't like Canadians, and
Maybe.
All right. I'll pray with all of you now. Gracious Father of love, we bow before you, and we say thank you. Firstly, for everything that you've allowed to happen in our lives, even if it's not so good. Because, as you said, you're still teaching us and training us. And even, Father, when we fall and make mistakes, we beat ourselves up, that we have allowed ourselves and our emotions to overtake us sometimes. We get angry, we get frustrated, we lash out, we even swear, and we curse. We apologize, Father, for that and ask for your forgiveness. We are human, and that's not an excuse, and we know better than most that there is a mission that you've given us and a task that all of us needs to be prepared for, but you have factored in every single thing that anyone could do to try and inhibit your plan, and you have made arrangements that will not deter this for 1 minute, and that overwhelms us sometimes because sometimes we think, Father, maybe we're holding back everything. Maybe we're not moving as quickly as you would like us to. Maybe we're just being stupid. But we know, Father, in our hearts that you would always encourage us to move forward as you do in every message to us that you share with us, how much you love us, how proud you are of us, how much you cherish us. And that doesn't go to our heads, Father. It actually makes us even smaller. Because when each of us looks into our lives and we look back through the years, we think to ourselves, never in a million years would I ever thought or think that I would be in the position I'm in right now to be a healer, to be an asset, to help someone else in a way that no one else can. It is an incredibly humbling experience for us, Father, and we want you to know that. And we appreciate all the time that you invest in us, all the tests that you give us, and I'm even going to say this, I do appreciate your processes because now I can see in wisdom, Father, why you put us through so many things. And you're cheering. That's wonderful. So thank you so much, Father, for everything that you do for us. We pray and say thank you for the blessings you gave us at the beginning of the meeting, the joy that we need, the strength, the love that you show us, Father, overwhelms us time and again. Let us be those lights that you need in the congregations. We do not shine our own light. We shine your heavenly light. We want to be as bright as the archangel is of light. That, Father, we can illuminate the hearts and the souls that are around us that are in darkness. And as our members spoke today, our teammates, of how people are attracted to them, Father, that is because you attract them to us because of the life you've given us. So we appreciate everything you've done for us. Cover our cares and concerns, our health, Father, our rejuvenation that's needed for some of the teammates, our financial situations, Father, our difficulties we're having with our fellow family members, our personal lives, everything, Father, I know is in your hands because I am placing it in your hands right now. And I know, Father, when the time is right, you will answer all these questions. And know, Father, we already pray for Mother's Day on Sunday, for all the mothers who have given their sacrifices, their time, their love, and their efforts. I know you reward them openly. We wish you, too, Father, a happy Mother's Day because you are our mother as well, because you have that kind of a heart. So thank you for everything. We pray this in accordance with your will, and if there's something I've forgotten, Father, I know you'll cover it. And please know again how much we love you. Thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.